All right. Thank you, Chair. I have my devices rolling, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Anthony or Zeke.
It is Anthony this evening.
Anthony. Thank you, Anthony. Welcome, everybody, to the regularly scheduled meeting of the City of Morro Bay Planning Commission. Today is March 2nd, 2021. It is 6 p.m., and we are holding this meeting via teleconference due to COVID protocols. We have a quorum, and I would like to call the meeting to order. I would like to begin this meeting with a moment of silence, if we could, about 15 seconds. Okay, bringing this back, do we have any planning commissioner announcements? Seeing none, we'll move right into public comment. This is the part of the meeting where the public can speak to items not on the agenda. You'd be limited to 3 minutes. You are able to do that via a myriad of very different ways. They're all listed on the agenda. Hopefully you had a chance to view that. Let's give you guys a couple minutes to see if there's anybody that wishes to speak to public comment. Seeing no hands raised in the attendees, I'm going to assume there are no public comments. Going once, if you do wish to speak to public comments to items not on the agenda, going twice, going three times. Okay, we'll close public comment and bring it back and move on to the consent calendar. Does anybody wish to pull either of the two items? The current and advanced planning list and the approval of the minutes from the January 19th meeting. Okay, seeing nobody wishing to pull either item, do we have a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve the consent calendar, items A1 and A2.
Thank you, Susan. We have a motion. May I have a second?
Sure.
Okay, Jen, we got a second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve items A1 and A2 on the consent calendar. All in favor, please say aye.
Hey, Jesse, aye. We have to take a roll call vote.
Oh.
At the direction, recent council meeting, that's what we're supposed to be doing. So pause you there. And,
sure.
And we'll go through that process, okay, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, Vice Chairperson Stewart?
Yes.
Chair Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Rocha?
Yes.
Commissioner Graffia?
Yes.
Chair Barone?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to the public hearing. Items B1, CUP 20-09 and CDP 20-017, 960 Napa. Ms. Hubbard, the floor is yours.
All right. I'm going to share the screen. All right, can you see the screen?
Sure can.
Yep.
Okay. This is, I've got my computer keeps giving me notices, and I'd like to get rid of them. Okay, so this is a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit and a coastal development permit for an addition to an existing single-family home. And the home is located at 960 Napa. And actually, if you're familiar with City Hall and the Community Development Department, this backs up against our parking lot behind our buildings. The existing site information is a 5,808 square foot site. It is R4. It borders on the GO/S-4 zoning district. The existing home is 1944, and it has a single car detached garage in the back. The existing buildings were reviewed for historic resource value and do not meet the criteria as historic resources. The existing garage will be replaced with a new conforming two-car garage. The land use and zoning is, the zoning is R4. It allows high-density residential with a land requirement of 1,800 square foot per dwelling. The land use area is Area 7, Central Morro Bay Planning Area, which allows a mix of commercial and residential. The review and approval process, this is the second project that we've taken through that actually has an ADU that is being reviewed and approved on an administrative basis. And so this public hearing is considering the existing home expansion. So the existing home is non-conforming as to the parking, a single car garage, and as to the use, a single family home in an R4 zone. The proposed addition, which is 984 square feet plus 441 square feet of new two-car garage, is significantly more than 25% of the existing home size. And since the house is non-conforming, the project requires a discretionary review, which is why we're here talking about this. The proposed project, this is the ground floor level. This shows an outline on the left of the home, and this shows in yellow highlighted the new areas. So there's a total of 465 square feet of expansion on the ground level. And this also shows the two-car garage on the right side. The expanded areas also include 87 square feet for a front porch and 68 square feet for a rear patio, and the garage is 441 square feet. Proposed second floor, this shows a 519 square foot expansion of the existing home and 162 square foot deck at the second floor. And this shows the 441 square foot ADU, which is, as I mentioned before, not part of this review and approval process. So it's a photo simulation, and the photo in the top right is an existing view from Napa Street. So it's the little home with the red tile. I don't know if it's tile. It's the red roof. And below in the blue and the white is the proposed simulation of the proposed project, which shows the lower level towards the street. Second floor is in the back, and second floor ADU over garage also in the back. This is the north and south elevation of the single family home, and in the red boxes with the new in it is the new portion. And this is the east elevation on the left of the home, which is facing the Community Development Department. And the west elevation is the new garage, and that's in the red box at the bottom. And the ADU is above and, of course, not part of this review. City development standards. This project meets all of the setbacks and height and lot coverage and parking. Neighborhood compatibility and residential design guidelines. The neighborhood is primarily older homes mixed with older apartments, and by older I probably mean 70s and 80s, bordered by government, public uses, and commercial. And because the site is narrow, it's 44 feet wide, higher density is difficult to achieve without compiling a number of sites because of the parking requirements and vehicular access. The design of the subject property meets the design standards through its improved pedestrian scale front porch and the new design and a front-facing entry door. The placement of the garage to the back of the parcel, and by stepping back the two-story portion of the home away from the street. And that concludes the presentation, and the staff recommendation is for approval of conditional use permit CUP 20-09 and coastal development permit CDP 20-17 pursuant to the findings and conditions of approval included in Planning Commission Resolution 04-21.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, let's open it up with commissioner questions. We have commissioner questions for staff. Bill.
Nancy, thank you for that nice presentation. A quick question. ADUs, you mentioned we've only processed two in Morro Bay. Is that right?
No, I meant under the new requirements where if you've got a project that has a new house or an addition to a house or something that requires a discretionary review, i.e. planning commission review, and it also includes an ADU or a JADU, you need to process them separately. So that means when you take the project portion that requires the planning commission review, you're not reviewing the ADU or JADU if that's included. You're not talking about that, and that's not part of the decision. That has to be, by government code, that has to be an administrative decision.
Got it. And if you would just take a minute for the public, a very simple explanation of what an ADU is, and do we have the rough numbers of what we've done in Morro Bay? No, I know that's not part of the decision, but I do think it impacts, you know, what we're looking at.
So an ADU is an accessory dwelling unit, and so that now is a separate dwelling that is allowed on any residential lot with some conditions. But generally, if you have a single-family home and a garage, you can convert the garage to a dwelling, or you, if you have space, you can add another building on the site, and that can be a dwelling. A junior accessory dwelling unit has to be under the same roof as the original home and has to be less than 500 square feet. And they both have requirements, but generally they're strongly encouraged by the state of California, and Morro Bay has also embraced that. And it's really an easy way to help the housing crisis and add additional dwellings where it doesn't add a lot of increased impact.
Thank you. And do you know how many we've reviewed and approved and might have been built? Do we have any numbers?
I'm just starting the housing element report for 2020, so I don't know the number, but I would say it's a large percentage of what we are reviewing in the planning department. And I think we're also encouraging them when there is an issue that can be solved by adding an ADU or a JADU.
So since January 1 of 2020, we've had 20 applications for ADUs approved. From January 1, 2020 through February 24th, we've had 20 approved through the planning process and building permits pulled for 8 through that same time frame.
Nice. Thank you, guys. That's good news. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill. Anybody else have any questions for Nancy or anybody else? Jim.
My question is, under Exhibit C, under the project description, methodology, historic content, all that good stuff, is that typical of anytime someone wants to do an addition to or any change to their home, or is it because of the age of the home? This is just to answer for me, and then maybe anyone who's viewing, because it was quite lengthy and in depth, and the Gaffneys did an amazing job going into all the past ownership, the history of Morro Bay. I mean, all of this was included. So if you could explain why that was all needed.
So it's a CEQA requirement that we examine any structure that is over 50 years old for its historic significance. So this is a report that in Morro Bay is required a lot if there are exterior improvements. So for a house, if they're doing an interior improvement, they don't require a report. In some cases, if homes have already had a major improvement to the exterior, we don't require another report. But if it's a house like this one where it really hasn't changed for, I don't know how many years that is, 60-something, 70-something years, it does require the report.
Okay. And I also wanted to tell you I appreciate the fact that you have captioning under your presentation.
Oh, you're welcome. I don't know how to make that go away.
I think it's inclusive. I love it. Keep it if you can.
Okay, Susan or Joe?
I don't have any questions. I can certainly give you my opinion, is that what you want?
Let's go ahead and go with questions right now, and then we'll open public comment, and we'll bring it back and do it that way, if you don't mind.
Sorry, I don't have any questions.
Okay, Susan, any questions? Okay, I have a couple. The basement, and this is kind of just a general question. It really doesn't even pertain to this project so much. And it's maybe more for Scott than you, Nancy, but the JADU ordinance is kind of all over the place, being interpreted all over the place over the state, and different jurisdictions are doing things a little bit differently. Would the city of Morro Bay consider that existing crawl space able to be converted to a JADU by virtue of it being under the same roof, or would it necessarily need to be part of the conditioned envelope prior to the application for the JADU?
My 100% honest answer to that is I haven't really considered it to this point. I mean, I have to think about it a little bit more as opposed to providing an answer right now.
Oh, sure, okay. Yeah. It's come up where we're at, and I was just wondering how the city was dealing with it. Okay, fair enough. What else did I have? I think that's it for questions. So, okay, we'll bring it back to the commission and we'll open public comment. We usually start with the applicant, and I see Mr. Parker has his hand up. If we could unmute him, please.
Okay, Mr. Parker, I've unmuted you.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for taking the time to hear this project, and thank you, Nancy, for that. This project's one where we're trying to achieve the space, the gap. Families kind of need to live in the house with their family, and also to gain a little curb appeal from the existing house by giving it a front porch, front entry. Currently, it's kind of tucked on the side, and just trying to take a clean approach to this project and keep it as minimal as possible impact to the street. Where I believe the Gaffneys are online as well, watching, and they're available for comment, as well as myself to answer any questions. But I mean, that's all I have at this point. But thank you again for seeing the project.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, anybody else, if you would like to speak to this item for public comment, please raise your hand. Ms. Winholtz.
Thank you. This is Betty Winholtz. I have just three questions. At one time, and this was before state law came in with mandatory ADUs, Morro Bay had a ordinance or a rule that said separated ADUs or secondary units at that time had to be, I think it was 20 feet away from the main house. Is that no longer applicable to this situation? And what is the spacing between the main house and the garage that has the ADU over it? Second, please affirm that an ADU cannot become a vacation rental, or if I'm wrong about that. And then just out of curiosity, how high is the ADU garage structure? Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. All right. Anybody else wish to speak to this item? Please raise your hand and we will get your comments on the record. Seeing no more hands, going once, going twice, going three times. Okay, we will close public comment on this item and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, do we have any questions for the applicant? Wow, we're lively tonight. Let's see. I did have a couple things, Chris. Where did we go? Sorry, Chris, are you still there? Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Let me get back to the elevations.
And I can address a couple of those questions if you wanted me to.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Can I interject for a second?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I just wanted to remind everyone that we're not reviewing the ADU.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for reminding us. That's a good point. You know, Chris, let's go ahead and hold off on those questions for a minute. Let's talk about this. So it looks like that that back stairway is going to be within the setback, so it's going to be 1 hour. What are you proposing as construction materials back there?
Yeah, that was a comment that Chad had made as well. So that'll end up being the stairway itself will be 1 hour construction. So I'll end up either wrapping everything with drywall to get that fire rating or stuccoing what I need to on that portion. Because everything else meant siding. I'd love to keep doing that, but I got to be able to achieve the 1 hour rating.
Right. I was just wondering if it was going to end up being like a steel type structure or.
I was trying to keep away from that if possible.
Okay, fair enough. Nancy, tell me if this question is out of bounds. I'll just ask it and you tell me if I can ask it or not. What unit does the garage belong to? Is it unit A, the primary?
What's that mean?
So the two dwellings on this property.
Oh, it's replacing the existing garage, and it's a two-car garage for the primary residence.
Okay, so we'll have a one-hour barrier at the floor-ceiling assembly.
Whatever building code requires.
Okay. I don't know if I can ask this question either, but I'll ask it anyway. So are we sprinklering the ADU?
I believe that we are because of the size of the addition to the primary dwelling. It would trigger fire sprinklers, and fire sprinklers required in the primary dwelling means that they're also required in any accessory dwelling.
Okay. Those are my bugaboos. So, okay. I think that's all I have for you, Chris. Let's see. Okay. Did you have anything else? Okay. At this point, if there's no objections, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the commission for consideration.
Could we know, just for knowing, Ms. Winholt's question about how far ADUs have to be from houses? Is there any requirement on that?
It's not ADUs. It's a distance between a dwelling unit and an accessory building, and a dwelling unit and another dwelling unit. And I'm looking it up because I keep getting those mixed up. But one is 6 and one is 10. And I think it's 10 between accessory building and primary dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a zoning ordinance thing, or because the CRC is going to say 1 and 2 family dwellings can be attached as long as they're 1 hour separated?
It's a zoning ordinance, and they can mitigate by fire rating.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
And I believe the answer to Ms. Winholt's other question, which is ADU cannot be a vacation rental, and the owner has to live in the primary, is that?
No, there's no owner requirement, but the vacation ADUs and JADUs can't be vacation rentals.
Perfect. I'm sorry. Okay. Any of the commissioners want to go for some comments? Mr. Roshan.
I think it's a very nice project. I think it's well done. I love the way the heights pulled back from the street. Good work, Nancy. The siding makes great sense. And I think it's, I know we're not reviewing the ADU, but I have to say I'm a fan. And I think it's very well integrated here and works very well. I'm in full support.
Thank you, Bill. Mr. Graffia.
Pretty much the same thing. I think it's a really thoughtful and pleasant design. I really like the way they've put some variety into the facades that face the driveway. I like the fact that they put siding around the house, even in some spots along the long planes that aren't terribly visible. I love the porch. I like the fact that it's setback. And again, even though we're not deciding the issue, I like that they're contemplating, you know, adding the accessory dwelling units and helping with the short supply of housing stock in the city. You know, I regret to some degree a quaint old house disappearing, but it's completely understandable. I very much approve the project.
Thank you, Joe. Jen.
I drove by and looked at the home and the surrounding homes, and I think it's going to fit in just lovely. It's a really great space, and after looking through the in-depth plans here, I think it's going to be a beautiful addition to the neighborhood.
Thank you for that. Susan, anything to say?
Just ditto. I agree. I think it's a great little project, and I love the front porch. But they have done a great job of, as you say, integrating it into the rest of the community. I think in some ways it's almost going to look more like an older home than it does now. And I think it's going to kind of take it back a little bit to that 1944 look, especially with the porch and the siding and the colors. If they go with that blue and white, I love it. And if not, that's okay too. But love the project, love that there is going to be an ADU. So hopefully we all move forward on it.
Very good. Okay, so my comments are, I would love to see if we could squeeze another JADU in that existing crawl space. I know that's probably not on the table at this moment. Well, I know that's not on the table at this moment. Just kind
for
of
very personal. Short people, Jesse.
Well, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. 7 foot is the minimum for that ceiling height. If they could, JADUs, could be very small. You could use some of the provisions of the tiny half the home, appendix Q, and CRC to maybe make some of that work. Anyway, I was just kind of hoping we could make something like that work, because in the R4, I think we would want to encourage as many units as we can get on that space. So that's just my comment. And I know the ADU is not on the table, and this is just my personal comment, so not relating to whether or not it's going to be approved or not, but I'm just going to make the comment anyway. I would like to see front doors on these ADUs face the street for a lot of reasons, but that's just a personal thing, nothing to do with the approval process. I just wanted to make that known that I think we should be trying to get these front doors or at least visible from the front, from the street, because it's, as it's shown, you won't really know that there's a house back there or how to get there. So anyway, that's just my two cents. Other than that, I love the project. I love the deck. I love how they give that master bedroom just a lot of space to spread out there. The porch is awesome. Chris did a bang up job, and that's all I got. So bringing it back, I think we're at the point where we can entertain a motion.
I'm happy to move approval as recommended by staff.
Do we need that a little more formally done, Nancy, or is that good enough?
Oh, it's good.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to conditionally approve CDP 20-017 and CUP 20-09. Ms. Hubbard, can we have a roll call?
Yes. Commissioner Ford.
Yes.
Commissioner Roshan.
Yes.
Commissioner Ngafia.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stewart.
Yes.
And Chair Barone.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0. We'll move on to, scroll up here. It's item B1. I don't know who's doing it. Let me get there. I'm sorry. Item B2, 205 Harbor Street, conceptual review of a potential future public hearing project. And this one is with Cindy.
Hi. Good evening, members of the Planning Commission. I'm going to share my screen now. Okay, here we are, and I apologize. My presentation wasn't on the first page. Here we go.
so this is, this agenda item is for 205 Harbor Street. This is a, and actually, let me get this moving up here. There we go. This agenda item is for 205 Harbor Street. We don't have an application for yet, for this yet. What you are seeing is a conceptual review. There has been no formal application that has been submitted. We have these plans, and this item is being brought before the Planning Commission to provide input on the design. The item before you would be a potential approximate 5,000 square foot blufftop hotel, six rooms. If the applicant decides to move forward with an application, the planning application requirements would require both a coastal development permit and a conditional use permit. On the screen here, you can see where the project is located. It's at the intersection of Harbor and Front Street and extends up to Market Avenue. Here's some additional street photos showing the property from the southeast corner at Harbor looking northwest, and then the next photo from the other side on Market Avenue, which would be looking toward the southwest. And as noted in the plans, the property does include six underlying lots, which would be merged and would involve the demolition of these structures that you see here on the corner, the residential and office buildings on the eastern side. The vicinity map on the screen shows the location. The property is located in the commercial visitor serving zoning district, that's CVS, and in a planned development overlay. It is also located in the coastal appeals jurisdiction, and the property is subject to bluff development standards and as well is located in the city's downtown waterfront strategic plan. It's in the downtown plan area and borders the waterfront area, so it is a transitional property. The next several slides show the design of the building. And here you see the building looking to the northeast. The building design is a modern design and modern contemporary design with a mix of materials and roof lines. The rooms located here, this is a zoomed in image of the southeast corner of the property, which shows this portion of the hotel with a prominent double roof line, 9 and 12 roof pitch, and colored storefront windows for accent. The rooms located at the northwest corner of the property show that same steep roof line here, a flat roof deck to accommodate a roof deck for desk, for guests. Excuse me, I lost my place in my notes here. And then here on the right, you can see a center courtyard and that it would be available for guests. The next several slides here will show some other images of the potential project. This is a view of the property from the corner at Market and Harbor Street. Here is a view of the center courtyard that I just showed you in an earlier slide, and the roof deck looking to the west. And then these next couple of pages are the elevation pages. Here's where the architect is calling out the mix of materials, that proposed building materials. It's a modern aesthetic throughout. It proposes a mix of horizontal plank siding, vertical standing metal seam roofs and siding, stone veneer at the fireplace, glass railings, private patios, and fencing. Here in the next few slides, you can see the elevations from Market Avenue and Pelican Place, which would be the east and north elevations, respectively. And then on this slide image, you are seeing the potential site plan. This shows the first floor. On the left side of the screen, or the west side, is showing you that development setback regarding the bluff development standards, and I'll explain that a little bit further in the next few slides. So the four of the units would be located on the first floor, and then in the second floor plan, you see the other two units, which would be adjacent to the Market Avenue side. And then this is showing you the roof deck, view courtyard, also depicting the hotel unit patios, private patios, and then a seven space parking lot that would be accessed off of Market Avenue. Some of the property history for this location. This site did previously have a 17-unit motel. The site has been mostly vacant since that hotel was demolished in the mid-1990s. And by mostly vacant, I mean that there are those structures that are adjacent to Market Avenue. The property, as I said, it is subject to the block development standards. The purpose of those standards are to protect public views, maintain the character of the bluff setting, and new development. Must mitigate potential adverse impacts, adverse visual impacts, maintain that unique geological features of the bluff, and then ensure really that the development is subordinate to the character of the bluff area. So in this, in these plans, the applicant has set the development back to maintain what they believe is the bluff standards. I will point out that in this plan review and taking this item forward to the Planning Commission, staff has not completed a complete plan check review, so we have not verified the development standards that they are proposing. It really is just to provide input to the applicant from the Planning Commission in regards to development standards. And in the bluff standards, most notable is that it is the height and setbacks that are restricted for development on this property. So the property is limited to single-story development if you're within 50 feet of a bluff edge. Outside of that 50-foot line, you can go to two stories, and that's why the plans show the staggering and the height where it's single-story on the west and two-story on the east side. And in regards to the downtown waterfront strategic plan, so that was a document that was adopted by the city in 2018. Really, the goal of that DWSP was to connect and enhance the city's downtown and waterfront areas. And it includes design guidelines. So in the staff report, I talk about, you know, is this project in the way that it's designed, is it consistent with those design guidelines? What we're seeking here is Planning Commission input on, is it consistent with those design guidelines? It's also in a very visible location on a property that has been vacant for approximately 25 years since it was demolished. So this location, should it be developed, would really represent an opportunity to improve the visual quality of this corridor along Harbor Street. And here in this slide, I posed a few questions for the Planning Commission to consider as they provide comment. But, you know, as I said, is the project design consistent with the DWSP? Is it compatible with the surrounding area? There are hotels adjacent to the east and to the south of the property. There's no strong architectural style. In the downtown plan area, the DWSP talks about preserving the eclectic nature of the downtown area. There's also waterfront standards in the waterfront area of the DWSP. Because of the buildings to the east and the south are old and have a general style, staff is looking for feedback on its views on that compatibility. And then lastly, are the material choices appropriate? There is a mix of styles and themes going on in the plans, but would be really interested in hearing what the Planning Commission's view is on that. And that would conclude my, going the wrong way here, my slides. That would conclude my presentation. I'll stop right there, and I'll open it up to the Planning Commission. And I would say that the applicant's representative and the architect that prepared the plans are in the queue, and I think they have a presentation, too, that they wanted to share with the commission. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you, Cindy. Okay, real quick, do we have any quick questions for Cindy before we move into the public comment period? Bill?
Jesse, tell me if this is appropriate. We got a number of very nice letters, very articulate letters about this project. That the one letter that Betty sent in, Betty Winholtz, about conceptual review, and I'd have to say, and I'm asking Cindy, I've served a number of years on other planning commissions. Conceptual reviews are rare. So I do think how we manage it is worth talking about right in the beginning, to see what Cindy thinks, Scott thinks, Jesse, the commission, because what Betty makes the point is that we are going to offer advice, and I think that'll be very helpful to the applicant. I think we'll get a better project. But this is not an approval, right? And I think that's probably the important thing, that a conceptual review is just that. It's comment. It's not saying that we're approving the project. Is that right, Cindy?
Yes, that is correct. It's just an application, and you know, we haven't done a plan check review on this. So, you know, if they apply for an application, we might find out that they've calculated the bluff wrong, or we might, you know, find out that there are building code or geological issues that haven't been addressed that could change the plan. But, you know, the idea is that, and I think, you know, how the conceptual review process was derived is that in the past that there were some applications that came forward to the Planning Commission and they spent a lot of money putting together plans only to find out that they did not get good feedback from the city, whether it was the Planning Commission or, you know, other bodies. And this was a way to really kind of say, hey, I have what could be a potentially controversial project, and I really need feedback. Like, am I on the right path? This project previously had an application that was applied for in 2004, and the city approved it, and it was appealed to the Coastal Commission, and they denied it. But there were some substantial bluff issues. The idea of the conceptual review is just to kind of provide them that feedback so that we're not, you know, walking them into a brick wall. And
so I guess my final kind of comment question is, I think it's going to be very helpful. I want to say thank you, Cindy, for organizing this, doing it. Thank you, Scott. But let's make really clear, this is not approvals.
Right, and so, we do these conceptual. I'm sorry, go ahead, Scott.
I want to speak to that. I think it's a really good point, Commissioner Roshan, and I do want to expand on that a little bit. First, I would say I've been doing these for 15 years, and they've always been well received. The planning commissioners that I've worked with through that time frame have always liked them, and the applicants have always appreciated the input up front on projects. You know, who knows if that continues, but that's been my experience with it. That being said, the point that you make, Commissioner Roshan, is a really good one. So you're not making a decision here this evening, and you're not here to, you know, put together any sort of consensus on the project. You're just here to, you know, you're reviewing the project as you see it, raise questions, make comments related to what you see, but the point here is not to build consensus. It's just to provide your individual comments, and not to work toward any sort of goal at the end, other than to give some feedback to the applicant, because they were willing to put these plans together early on and then seek that input from us. And knowing that the site, you know, has had, you know, a couple of different projects proposed there that were unsuccessful. So that was sort of the light behind why we're doing what we're doing this evening. And
thank you, Scott.
What Cindy raised, so.
Mr. Graffia.
You know, I was looking at it, and I noted that I saw what I would, as a layman, would call concrete pylons and maybe the overhang of one of the decks of the one-story buildings actually in the slope area as opposed to the buff area. And I wondered if there was any law or guidelines, about what you could or could not do in the actual slope as opposed to the buffer. That's my question.
Yeah, so you can do bluff face development in this area. Our LCP policies require that applicants minimize alteration of natural landforms. So that does have to be supported by a geological report, and that would be part of that bluff development standard review. And, mm-hmm. and that bluff face development is only allowed in the core waterfront area. So this is in a section of the waterfront that you could do that.
So there isn't anything explicit that either allows or disavows things like those concrete supports on the bluff.
Right. Yeah. Not beyond what I said. No.
Okay. Jen.
Thank you, Cindy, for presenting this to us. I have a question about one of our comments that came in to the commission is about having solar panels and requiring that, you know, moving forward for new projects and developments such as this one. Is that something that, as a commission, since I'm new here, so I'm learning what we can and can't ask for, but is that something that we can require of new developments like this to have something that, you know, is beneficial when it comes to climate change? Is that something that we can discuss?
I think it would be a requirement of the building code, if I'm not mistaken, as far as commercial development. And I don't know how else to answer that question.
There are trade-offs they could do. I think non-res, they probably could get away with not doing solar. But... It's all trade-offs, so they're going to have to do a Title 24, what we call the trades, a Title 24 report, which is an energy compliance document that tells them how they comply with energy. So they have a certain energy budget, if you will, and they have to meet that budget, whether they do that with solar panels or other ways. That's typically how they...
I mean, I think it's likely that design-wise that they may do a cost-benefit analysis, and they may want to add that, but I would leave that to the applicant, they haven't applied yet. I would leave that to the agent or the architect when they speak to address that.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Susan, did you have anything for Cindy before we move on?
No, thanks.
Okay, I just had one question, and I don't want to get bogged down in it, and tell me if you don't want to talk about it, but are we going to determine average natural grade from the aggregate proposed lot after the merger or prior to the merger?
So we would determine, are you referring to average natural grade or lot coverage?
Specifically, I think what a couple of comments I heard from the public was, you know, height limits,
yeah,
roof slopes, things like that. So when we start determining, you know, how high this thing can be, average natural grade is going to be, you know, the benchmark. But are we going to do it prior to or after, I guess, is the key.
So what our code says is that we determine grade as of grades in existence as of 1986. It's an obscure year. There's a wrinkle here because there was a hotel that existed there in 1986 because it wasn't demolished until the mid-90s. But essentially the height is determined from that based on the building footprint. That will determine what their maximum building height can be. But then there's another layer that's restricting the height, and that's the bluff development standards. So importantly, we'll also need to determine what the top of bluff is, because that's going to determine their bluff setbacks. And that first 50 feet from the bluff top edge can only be single story. And then beyond that, you can go two stories. So if, you know, the bluff top edge is at one line, and it actually should be 5 feet east, you know, that's going to make a difference in what portion of the structure is one and two stories. And that'll be part of that development review process that we will have to undertake.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't want to get bogged down in the weeds here.
Yeah.
Probably a good time to open public comment. This is the time where we normally have the applicant speak to this, and Ms. Novak, I see, has had her hand raised. You gave me 10 minutes on this one, Scott, normally?
I think that's appropriate for the applicant. They potentially have two speakers since the architects, Kathy and then the architects also there.
Okay. Ms. Novak, whenever you're ready.
Okay, Kathy, you are unmuted.
Good evening, Chair Barone and Commissioners. My name is Kathy Novak, and I'm here tonight representing the potential applicant for the Harbor Street project. I'd also like to say a sincere welcome to the new commissioners. Before I begin, I'd like to thank staff for their time and assistance with this project and their willingness to bring forward the conceptual review and early on the process. We are here this evening for this review of this project because we agree with staff that it will be beneficial for both the applicant and the city to discuss the aspects and merits of the proposed project, as well as the ability to answer questions in advance of a project submittal. Staff has covered major points in this report, so I'd like to add some background information and other specifics in order to provide the commission with enough information. Specifically, I'll be discussing the project design standards, the building heights, visuals, parking, and landscape components. As noted in your report, this proposed project is a six-room hotel that is designed to meet the city's setback, lot coverage, parking, and other standards. I would like to emphasize at this time that the project proposed is not requesting any exceptions under the PD overlay. While we don't have a final design, we believe that will continue to be the case. There are a couple of important project components that I would like to cover, and then I will turn it over to the project architect for his comments on the design, colors, material choices, and other architectural features. First, I'd like to say that we intend to keep the trees on Market and Harbor unless we discover any issues that would require us to remove them. Second, the staff report notes that there is not any landscaping in the parking lot area, but we will be fine-tuning the plans after this meeting and we'll be addressing those features. We will also submit a full landscape plan with a project that will be visually appealing to the project and surrounding areas. Third, I believe it's important to point out that the project is designed to step down the bluff and actually has a setback from Front Street that ranges from 26.5 feet at the northern part to 45 feet on the southern side. A side note here is that on the title sheet, we got the rear and the front setbacks listed incorrectly, so we will be correcting that when we submit the plans. This increased setback effectively provides a view corridor for the neighboring residents as the actual building is well behind the neighboring house southern window at that corner. While private views are not protected under this code, this design creates an open area for the neighbor. Cindy's got a quick photo that she's going to put up on the screen for me as well. Find it, Cindy?
You're muted, Cindy.
There we go. This is a Google Street photo that the architect did for us and marks the approximate edge of the proposed patio. You can also see this clearly in plan sheet A2.1 that shows the relationship of the neighboring residents to the proposed patio, so you get an idea how far the patio and building will be set back. Fourth, the bluff setback has come into question as an appropriate location for the purposes of determining height restrictions, which are limited to 50 feet within the bluff top. There's quite a bit of history regarding the location of the bluff, and I don't think it will help this evening to cover all of this, so let me just say that a proposed development many years ago was relying on the old retaining wall that collapsed in 1995 as the bluff top location. A new bluff top study was commissioned in 2019, which has the bluff top located approximately the start of the old wall on the north. However, running toward the south, it is quite a bit further eastward of the old wall. This proposed project has been designed based on the new bluff top location and adheres to the city policies for the height restrictions. Your staff report notes that it is unclear at this time whether the proposed hotel is compliant, but I believe that the city has the opportunity to review the complete submittal, that this will become clear, and we will work with staff to resolve any issues. I would also like to say that we believe this conceptual design has met or exceeds city standards without any current exceptions, is consistent with the downtown waterfront strategic plan, provides a low site impact development that will serve as a nice transition from the downtown to the waterfront and provides visual corridors where there are none required. All in all, this is a wonderful visitor-serving commercial opportunity for the community. In conclusion, I know that the commission received some of the public comment letters, and I know that staff has addressed this as well, but I'd like to reiterate a couple things. I'd like to make it clear that we are presenting this concept plan to the commission in order to hear your preliminary comments on the design and other elements and issues. This process best serves the applicant and the city, so we are not spending considerable time and effort on projects that have clearly need to be modified or are acceptable in the design phase to address any issues. We also understand this is not a formal approval and are not asking the commission for a pass in the future. Since this is conceptual, we know that there are some components such as trash, parking lot landscaping, street trees, and other specifics that are not included in the plan, but we will address this and include it in the plan that is formally submitted to the city for review. We also will provide photo simulations of the proposed project, as we have done in the past with other projects, so the commission can evaluate the project based on real local conditions. This, again, is just conceptual in a way to get a sense of the layout and design of this project. As far as the building materials and roof design, I'm going to have the architect describe his vision and the style of the color and materials. However, I will just add one thing right now, is that the architectural style can be a personal choice, which doesn't make the project incompatible with the surroundings. For example, staff notes in your report that some neighboring buildings are older, eclectic, and the hotel on the south has a standing seam metal roof, which is also has several buildings on the Embarcadero. Additionally, the report says, quote, although different, they would not be dissimilar in terms of compatibility. Last, we have done this before with the commission before on these type of conceptual reviews on comments and materials, colors, and et cetera. So we're looking forward to your thoughts that we can bring forward a beneficial and complementary project for the area. That concludes my part of the presentation. So now I'd like to turn it over to the project architect, Tom Jess, who will share his comments and thoughts on the architectural design. Thank you for your time, and we'll be available for questions after.
Thank you, Ms. Novak. Mr. Jess, if you're ready. Anthony, are we able to get Mr. Jess on?
Yes, please stand by. Okay, Tom, you're unmuted.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you very much for hearing us this evening on this project. Nancy, is it possible to bring up the site plan? I think that might help as a visual aid. It's just sheet A2.1.
Okay, sure thing. Just a second.
I'm Cindy, sorry.
That's fine. Did you say A2.1?
Yes, please.
Okay, hold on. There you go.
Okay, great. So I think we had, as was mentioned previously, we had come up with a previous design for Smith Held, the previous landowner on this project. And it included 30 hotel rooms, underground parking. It was quite a bit more intensive use on this site. One of the things that when we first talked with Chung, the current property owner, he wasn't interested in pushing the limits. He really wanted just a very nice project that was sensitively designed to the site. And so it was kind of a different approach than what we've done in the past. It's not necessarily driven by trying to get the most equity out of this or make the most money. This is really a project that's designed to be a complement to this part, to the site. I mean, six hotel rooms is really not pushing anything very far at all here. So based on that, we were able to really design the project to be as lightly impactful as possible. So we were able to do the surface parking in the back part of the site. The entrance to the site, so if you were to walk in off of Market Avenue, you'd come in, there's a little entry court there that would be furnished and landscaped and be a really nice little pleasant space right there. And then just a lobby to get checked in and a staff, someone sitting there to help you get acquainted. And then from there, from the parking lot, you don't really get a sensitive view. And the view really is what is the key feature on this site that we try to emphasize. So as you walk along Unit 103, you get a little snippet of it, but it really opens up when you get to the view courtyard. And that courtyard that we have there is out on the end. And what we tried to do is keep that down low as possible so that that corner of the site, and you can kind of see it in the cover image, is fairly low density and just a kind of an on-grade courtyard area there. And then we located the guest room so that there's two of them within the 50-foot setback, and they're single story, and they both capture the view. And then we also staggered them. It worked out really well. We staggered them because the height actually steps back there, the bluff steps back, but it also provides privacy. So we tried to create a little bit of a private patio out in front of each hotel room so that there's a really unique little environment there. And I think the views are going to be fabulous. And then from the back guest rooms, we did something similar where we stepped them back and staggered them to get that view, you know, get that privacy between them. And then, so everything within the 50-foot setback is a single story as required. And if you can just go to the next sheet, just one sheet further, there you go. You can see that what we've done is there's only two units on the second floor, and they're both stepped back so that they're outside of that 50-foot buffer area. And then they utilize some of the space over the unit below for an outdoor patio. And then we did want one common area roof deck, which you can see is over there on that single story portion there for some of that view as well. But it also creates a little dynamic environment where people can be on the lower deck and the upper deck, and it kind of creates a little communication there. So that's kind of the idea behind the site plan. And like I said, we really didn't try to push it. We wanted to park it completely. We wanted to keep the units so that they're as nice as we can make them. And they're actually a little bit step up from a standard hotel room in that they have a separate bedroom rather than just a sleeping in the main space. Architectural style and character of the building. Is it possible to flip to the front to just the cover sheet? That kind of shows that perspective view. I think that one probably captures things the best. Yeah, right there. So what we really wanted to do here was capture the classic beachfront cabin type of look and feel, the simple gable cabin. And then instead of making a big, long hotel or a group hotel, we wanted each little unit to feel unique and special. It breaks down the scale quite a bit, but we kept the forms really simple. You can see there's either a flat roof or a gable. And then as far as the material choices, I think we chose the two most common materials used in Morro Bay, especially around the waterfront. That's the metal roofing and the wood siding. There's numerous buildings everywhere, you know, up and down the waterfront with the wood siding. The metal roofing is one of the more common roofing materials. You know, you can see it in its dramatic form across the street at the Blue Scale Inn with the blue roof. That's not really what we're looking for. And then the metal siding is common as well. The Dutchman's building is metal siding. The Sun Bulletin building just down the street is metal siding. And so what we tried to do was, if you think about it like the Quonset Hut, like the antique store that's there on Main Street, it's a Quonset Hut where the material, the metal siding basically starts at grade, goes up, becomes the wall, and then becomes the roof, and then comes down the other side. We wanted to do kind of an updated version of that same thing where instead of a semicircle, we're doing a gable. And the metal siding basically comes up the wall and then transitions, becomes the roof, and then transitions down the other side. And the reason we did that was just because those long sides, it emphasizes the form and the shape. And then it's the open end, it's facing the ocean, where we're going to have fun with that. We're going to open that up. That's our big view. And then because we chose to use fairly muted colors throughout, we wanted to kind of create a little bit of a pop of interest there. So we are proposing some colored glass up in the taller windows. It also helps cut down the solar gain in there. And then, so that's kind of how we chose the colors and the materials. And we feel like it's really appropriate for where we are. It is a little bit more of a contemporary twist, but it's really traditional forms, traditional shapes, and traditional materials just used in a slightly different way that gives it a little bit more of a contemporary feel. As far as the solar panels, the green building, as Commissioner Barron mentioned, we are going to be as environmentally friendly as possible. It's dictated by the building code, but we tend to like to go above and beyond that if we can. And solar panels are something that I think would be a really good fit for this project, and something that we'll definitely look into, either on the buildings themselves or on a carport structure. If you put the solar panels on the roof and they tend to ruin the form or look awkward, we may look for another way to incorporate them. But anyway, with that, and I do want to reiterate what Kathy said, is that we understand fully that this is not an approval and it's just an opportunity to get feedback early in the process. And that's something that we really value, and we look forward to your comments, and we are happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Mr. Jess. Okay, anybody else wishing to speak to this item, please raise your hand, and we will address your public comment. Ms. Winholz.
Thank you. This is Betty Winholz. I appreciate the presenter addressing the materials, though we may disagree, at least I understand where he's coming from. I also want to raise the issue that was addressed by Ms. Novak regarding the bluff, that the proposal and one of the big issues back in 2004 was just where is that bluff line? And that was a big to-do when this project was proposed back then, and I don't know that it was settled to the developer's satisfaction, and so that may come up again about just where is that bluff line, and that may affect the location of the buildings. I want to suggest that around that courtyard, there's going to be some wind coming up there, and what I have seen both private homes and businesses do is put up plexiglass to protect the people in that area from the strong winds that come off the oceans that tend to be cold, and I didn't see that that was part of the feature, and maybe that's something they would want to consider. Let's see, there was one other thing. Oh, and I hope when they come back with the real application that they'll do some more pictures that are realistic, both in terms of setting the buildings into the context of the neighborhood and the hillside, and that they can present realistic pedestrian perspective from both below and the side and the behind. And I would still express my concern about not about doing the least bit of damage to the hotel behind them's view shed as much as possible. Thanks.
Jesse, you're muted.
If anybody else wishes to speak to this item, please raise your hand in the queue, and we will you can have your 3 minutes to speak. Going once, going twice. Okay, seeing no others, we'll bring it back to the commission. I'm sorry, Kathy, you're raising your hand again. If you could hold off just for a moment here, I'm going to bring it back to the commission, and I think we'll probably have some questions for you and Mr. Jess. So let's bring it back to the commission and start with whoever, who wants to go first? Do we have questions for the applicant? Susan?
Just a couple questions. I always wonder, who is your customer? Wondered if those units are fairly large, so is there a kitchenette in there as well as a sort of living and sleeping area and a bathroom, of course? I really appreciate the explanation of the updated Quonset hut, and I love that just as a historical tie-in because those Quonset huts had such a, they're a huge part of the Morro Bay history, and the idea that this would be sort of a modernized Quonset hut version I think is really delightful.
If you want, we can have Nancy speak. I'm sorry, Kathy, yeah, speak to some of these as we go.
Sure, and Kathy might also know this one just because she knows so much about everything in Morro Bay. I'm assuming we've had some soils reports and geologic reports on this bluff, and I'm curious about how much of it is natural. When I was kind of traipsing around up there, trespassing, I guess, a little bit, with a purpose, though. Trespassing with a purpose. There's definitely some fill soils that have been dumped there, and unfortunately, it looks like some of them are midden deposits, which happens a lot, and it's really helpful if when people do dump soil from one area to another, they at least record somewhere where it's from so it doesn't complicate issues moving forward. But it's clearly been disturbed before. There have been buildings there that started to fall down and retaining walls that started to fall. So that was just, you know, I'm curious about soils reports, and that may help determine exactly where that actual natural bluff line is. And then one other thing, and other things may come up, but it sort of occurred to me that we're losing two probably fairly low income housing units as things get torn down from these lots, and whether there's anything that we can do, you know, are there ways to compensate for that, or ways that we put some money into a fund because of that, or anything like that? So I'll stop there for now.
Yeah, if you want to try and tackle some of that, or do you want to get a list of questions, how would you prefer to proceed here?
You know what? Okay, so I'll, can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'll tackle part of it. I'll leave the design and interior design to Tom. But so a couple different things. So let me, and I was going to try to address a couple of what Betty was talking about too. So as Cindy mentioned, and in the report, there was this old hotel that was on that site, and the retaining wall was about 25, 26 feet tall, and it was pretty much parallel with a front street. And the old motel had on the southern portion about just behind the retaining wall, there was a swimming pool there. And then there was the hotel units around it in the parking lot. So what happened when we had all those big rains in March of 1995, the whole area, I guess the swimming pool must have cracked or something. But anyways, the whole thing just let loose. The wall fell down the hill. All the soils fell down the hill. And then they came in after that and tried to demolish what they could and pick up. So what you see today is a significant change in the topography, because now they kind of leveled things off a little bit and tried to clear out some of that old debris. So this bluff top study that we commissioned in 2019, it was done by Geo Solutions, and what it does is really addresses where the natural bluff line was on this project. And what they originally, back in 2004, when we were talking about that first project, the applicant at that time was trying to say that the old retaining wall was the bluff line. But now this new bluff study that we've done is pretty different than using the old retaining wall. On the north edge, it's the old natural bluff line that was identified in this report is pretty much in the same location of where the retaining wall was. But as you move south, that natural bluff line goes eastward quite a bit. So on the plans that you see now before you, we have, especially like on sheet A2.1, and you can see that it indicates top of bluff. So that is the bluff line that we've been using based on this report that we did in 2019. And at the time when he was doing that report, he looked at old aerial photographs in the 40s. And before that, he also took into consideration the Blue Sail Inn, where the bluff top is at the Blue Sail Inn, and drew a bluff line that should be consistent with where the old natural bluff is. But you know, Harbor Street was built, so that interfered with the natural bluff line. So you've got a lot of things that are going on with identifying this bluff line and trying to figure out where the old natural bluff might have been. But that's what we're basing the project on, and we'll give the city a copy of that report when we submit this project as well. there's been an extensive amount of studies done on this property since Smith Held had started originally, like Tom mentioned, to propose the 30-unit hotel there. So we've done some soils reports. We've done a full archaeological phase one report. We've done a historical evaluation. So we've got a lot of these reports that Smith had done while he was working on the project so that we can carry all those forward. And Tom just worked on Smith's project, so it was a nice transition for Tom since he had all the prior knowledge from Smith's project and the site plans and things like that to be able to carry this forward and bring this project up. The other thing I just want to mention that Betty mentioned on visual simulations, yes, we will be doing photo simulations. When we had the project done for Smith, we did that. We did one from the Embarcadero, and then we did one from up above. And both of those photo simulations, we talked to staff in advance, and staff said, okay, let's pick this point on the Embarcadero to use as the point for the photo simulation. So we will be doing the same thing. We'll bring those forward. There'll be actual photo simulations. But for this conceptual review, we were just trying to give you some sort of an idea of what this design was about so we could describe it to you and without getting into real complicated photo simulations at this point in time. Residential uses. So there's really nothing. This is a visitor-serving commercial district, and actually the residents that are to the north of this, they're non-conforming. Maybe Cindy can kind of speak to that. But I was thinking it was in our general plan, but I can't remember because it's been so long now. But those residential units there are not in a residential district. It's in a commercial visitor-serving district, and theoretically, in time, the city has the idea that those commercial, those residential uses will go away, and that will all become visitor-serving commercial. So, yes, we do have these times where we have some small residents, but it's not really the appropriate place for in this particular district and in the surrounding area. So, I want to mention that because of the residents next door, they're just non-conforming. And I think I got everything, and I let Tom jump in if he wants to on this design about the interior design for those questions.
Thanks, Kathy.
Sure.
Okay. Am I unmuted or
yeah,
am I still muted? Okay, perfect. So the question I think was, do they have kitchenettes? And yes, they do. And who's the clients? What we're trying to do is provide another opportunity for another option for guests that come down here. Right now, most of the hotels are your standard motel style exterior corridor. I know that the Hampton Inn is going in. That's going to be kind of a limited services hotel, but something where someone can come and stay for a weekend or a week. It seems like it's something that would be really appealing. And this site here is an ideal location for that. So that's really what it is. It's just another option of type of hotel accommodations. I don't know who the clients are exactly, but hopefully someone that wants to come here and experience more Bay.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Bill, I think you have some questions for Kathy or Tom.
Yeah, and Jesse, is this the right time to offer some comments and encouragements too?
I don't know. What do you think, Cindy? Should we do that now? Should we probably bring it back after we close public comment?
Well, it's a conceptual review, so you're not really bound by the more formal nature of applications. So I would think that you could keep it open, add comments. I mean, we're here to hear what you guys have to say, and we're taking notes. Scott?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's, it's kind of how you want to run it. It's fine to have a conversation that's sort of ongoing, and you can have both questions and comments as you go through it. It's, if you'd like it to be more structured, though, certainly you can do that. It's really kind of up to you. This isn't this isn't for approval, so it doesn't follow the same, doesn't have to follow the same sort of process that we usually do for projects.
Okay,
your call, Jesse.
Whatever makes this go round. Yeah, go ahead, Bill. Just do your thing.
Thanks. So, Cindy, could you put the site plan up on the screen for me for a minute?
Sure.
What I'd like to offer first is a couple of encouragements of what I think are the strengths of the plan, and I think they're worth pointing out. The actual site plan, yeah.
2.1.
Managing multiple tabs open on my screen. Okay.
Thanks.
2.1.
There you go. So I think one of the strengths of this plan is the density really flatters the site. When you study the design, you can still read the bluff. It doesn't destroy the bluff. I think it flatters it. I also like the way the architect has started with the lobby at the important corner of Harbor and Market. And then the building steps back. So as you go down Harbor Street, the view is really going to open up for the pedestrian or the driver as you go down. And at the Harbor and Market Avenue corner, he's really reinforcing the more urban point of the site, and that appropriately is the lobby. So I want to really get behind the site plan, the density, the fact that he's put the parking lot, the architect has put the parking lot in the back so that the units, again, help define the bluff, help define the urban corner, really seems the right strategy. What he's done that I want to support as well is the density, the site design work, and then his building design sort of reinforces that. The choice of materials, again, it has a light touch on the site. The idea of the caissons allows the building to begin to float. The idea of the light metal and wood makes the building sit lightly on the land. The modern choices for me allow the compartmentalization of the individual rooms, so the building never ever feels massive. It feels, again, sort of like a very almost well-crafted light touch. Now, with that, I do have one strong concern. Can we go to the rendering, Cindy, that shows Market and Harbor? That one. A couple of concerns for Kathy and the architects. This is a really important corner because it is the lobby. The landscape in this rendering, I know this is a conceptual rendering, but it hides the architecture rather than reinforces it. And what the lobby, I think, needs to do is engage the street, which it's not doing. An urban corner like this needs to have some glass. It needs to have some presence. The reason the building, in my mind, fits so well on the corner is because you should be able to read where the lobby is, and the urban fabric should be, I think, engaged at this one point. For whatever reason, I think my guess is the architect will kind of be shaking his head yes on this, but I think that could be one of the improvements in the next step. From there, I have a couple of quick encouragements, and then you can tell me what you think. After those improvements, I'm very interested in the renderings. And Kathy, what I'm concerned about in the renderings, and I heard Betty say, is we really want to see the context. We want to see how the building sits next to the buildings next to it across the street. So it's more of a context rendering, really, and those are really helpful. They're helpful with, the height of the structure. They're helpful with the materiality. Do the materials really work? And sometimes elevations can do those as well as visual, digital renderings. So for me, it's context renderings. The next thing would be is if the architect could consider the signage and give us an idea where and what, how the signage might be done. Fourth, landscape drawings. Really, really a big deal on this project. And right now, the landscape is not working for me, and I think, the architect hasn't focused on it yet, but the landscape plan in this thing is really important. Five, he would consider giving us a little idea of lighting, especially around the parking lot, how you guys might want to do that. Those are my comments and encouragements.
Kathy or Tom, do you want to talk about some of that, or would you want to move on and hear some more comments first?
I'll let Tom go because he's going to be doing the design work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then I think that those comments are the epitome of why this is such a great exercise to go through at this point, because they were well thought out, they were constructive. I'm absolutely sitting here nodding my head. So yes, I agree with all those comments. I think that this rendering that you're looking at here, part of this is if you go out there now, you'll see that there's some really large trees that block that area, and they're kind of overgrown. And I think that what we were trying to do was preserve those trees. So that's what those trees on the right are. So maybe it's worth losing one of those trees that we may lose anyway to kind of emphasize the architecture and the street engagement of that. And I think that we can do a little bit better on this side of the building. And I think that's something that we'll focus on moving forward. And the other comments regarding the signage and landscaping and lighting are all really good comments that we'll address and bring forward with the full submittal. So thank you very much. That was appreciated.
Yeah, Tom, that sounds great to me. This is Bill Roshan. And one more final thing is I do think that your material choices are really, you know, good on this. I love the way the material choices work with the site design so that there really is an integration that seems to me to be a very thoughtful composition. So, you know, I want to make sure that as you begin to develop, you know, I think the way you're going with the materials is a great approach. So thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Bill. That was excellent. Appreciate those comments. Jen or Joe, do you want to? Jen, go ahead.
Thank you, Jesse. Mr. Jess, I also want to echo Bill's comments on the view from Harbor Street. When I drove by the area of land and was looking at that space, that was the first thing that came to my mind is, you know, when we see this, well, we still have it up here, so thank you for keeping it there, this A0.4 image, it's really, that's the only image, when I looked at it, I kind of went, I don't know how our community is going to react to something that doesn't have, as Bill said, you know, windows or anything like that on the harbor facing side of the buildings. So without, you know, those trees are blocking the lobby, really it does look very plain and kind of just like a big box, you know, on that side of the street. So, I definitely agree with him on that. As for the rest of the design, absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And what I really loved about it is that the fencing that you have, it looked like plexiglass to me. I know that there was a comment earlier that plexiglass was a suggestion, but it looks like in the conceptual drawing that there is that already there. I like that you didn't just box the property lines. I like that you actually kind of move with, you know, it's right along where the patios are, and it just really looks beautiful. And that open corner, because the property goes back, you have that, you still have the beauty, and you can still landscape that really nicely. So, oh, thank you. So yeah, you can see right there on the corner, it's just really, you know, it just is going to be beautiful. And I like the design overall. I think you did a great job.
Thanks, Jim. Joe.
Well, first I'd say that the design is just delightful. And, you know, I'm always not a grand enthusiast of modern architecture, but I think this time you guys got it right. It's a light and varied and kind of humane architecture. It even reminds me of a little bit of a tiny village. I like the fact that the structures are staggered. I like the low density. I like the fact that the second story is pushed back to the back of the property. It's all just all excellent. You know, what suggestions I make or wish for? Again, echoing Kathy, I think a really detailed landscaping plan is absolutely essential. I don't know how adamant the design is for this, but I noticed some kind of it was called a trellis or a lattice work on the roof of the one-story structure. I have a feeling that if most people would consider that rather than an inconsequential accessory, would probably consider it a violation of the height maximum. So I don't think I really, as much as it's a nice detail, I don't think I would support that kind of a trellis. Originally, I was thinking, gee, I wish it could be not the two-story structures could be not quite so tall, but really looking at the overall design, I think it actually needs it. So I the height at which the plan is, I don't think for me is a problem. With respect to the renderings, though, I think it's absolutely essential that we see a 3D rendering from what this looking southwest, so we see the driveway and the parking lot and the lighting as mentioned, and the facade from that direction. And then the only other thought, and I suspect I'm probably a minority on this, but I look at the pylons and I look at the overhang at the deck on the one-story structures, and somehow I see that it's not quite in keeping with preserving or enhancing the actual slope of the bluff. I think I would be more in favor of not doing that and preserving the bluff with its landscape and kind of a more universal appeal. I was interested to hear the comment about how the pylons make the buildings look a little bit lighter, and I guess I would have to agree with that, but on balance, I think I'd rather not see what I regard as a kind of an intrusion into the slope area. And I think that's really it. Aside from that, compliments to the designer and the property owner.
Okay, thank you, Joe. If you don't mind, I'll jump right in here and give a couple of my comments. I agree with just about what everybody said here. I'm not sure I'm going to add too much more. I am very interested in seeing the how this building is going to look when you're standing on Front Street looking up, and I'm afraid it'll look massive. I don't think there's anything that can be done to avoid that massive feel, but I think the slope of the roofs may exacerbate that feeling of just having a big giant building. And I don't know if that's, you know, that's just my personal opinion. I'm not an architect. Bill said this way more eloquently than I ever could, but I do like the way the site is set up. It blends into the terrain, and you guys did a really good job in doing that, and I like that. I do like the choice of materials, the standing seam metal roof. I hadn't actually even considered the Quonset hut aspect of it, but as a military guy, as soon as you said it, it rang with me, and I did like that standing seam metal roof in the siding there. Not a huge fan of the horizontal plank siding as it integrates, but you know, I think everybody else kind of seemed to like it, and I don't know if that's just, you know, my taste palette or whatever. But I, for some reason, it just doesn't strike me as, maybe it's the picture itself. Maybe it'll look better in person, but that's just my personal thing. I think I would rather see something different than horizontal plank siding there. And I'm not an artist, so, you know, forgive me for saying it, but to me, the colored storefront windows kind of seem a bit much. I don't know how else to say it. I don't want to say it other than that. I do love everything else about this. I think Joe was right on, and I think the trellis does probably exceed the height limit. And maybe we were relying on the fact that it's, you know, not a solid roof deck to get past that, but I would not be in favor of seeing that trellis on the top of the roof deck remain. To me, this kind of stands out. It doesn't really add. It almost detracts from the beauty of the rest of the design to me. So I would be a fan of seeing that. Maybe not make it to the final drawing. on the drawings here. As far as the wind screens, I think you guys did the right thing there. The glass railings at the 42 inches. I wouldn't be a fan of seeing that go much higher. Other than that, I think you guys did a great job. I think you guys did a great job in general. But those are my comments. I'm sorry, I'm stumbling over my words. Susan, you want to say something else?
Couple things just in response to you, Jesse. I actually like the horizontal plank siding juxtaposed with the vertical. I just think that gives a nice sort of breakup of what could become sort of massive blocks. So I appreciate that. Another thought was, I'm assuming that these will be somewhat higher end, little pricier units, and would suggest really considering an electric vehicle charging area, just because I would bet you're going to have some of your clients are maybe those people who are in an electric car. And I know it's only 7 parking spaces, but if it's feasible financially, it might be worth considering that.
Sure, I don't take offense to that. I wear jean shorts, so you know, I don't have any taste. So horizontal plank siding seems like everybody liked that. Jen,
I wouldn't say that, Jesse. Come on, son, you're good.
Oh, you know I joke.
You know, Susan brought up a good point, and I actually meant to talk about it, but the electric charging stations are a great idea. And I know that there's hotels that I've gone to before that have sponsors. So if you know the Jeep sponsors, one of the hotels that I visited, they sponsor their electric charging station. They like put it in for them, and they basically slap their sign on there and sponsored by Jeep. So, you know, real tasteful, but you know, something to consider. I think it's really important to have, especially like Susan said, on a high-end hotel, you'll probably need it. And the last thing I wanted to say is that I know you haven't, like you had mentioned, you haven't really nailed down the landscape yet, but I really encourage you to look at what grows here naturally and our natural terrain here in Morro Bay and the Central Coast, and consider that with your vegetation, not just because they'll thrive better, but also it just would complement the area. You know, looking at these, I think they're weeping willows or whatever those are. We don't really see those around here, and that was probably just thrown in there. But you know, just considering what grows here naturally, I think is important and would be a nice complement to that space.
Thank you, Jen. Kathy or Tom, do you want to respond to any of our...
I'll jump in real quick. We appreciate the commission and all the comments tonight. It's been really helpful, and Tom mentioned that when he was on here a minute ago, and he can jump in after me if he wants. And really, this is what this whole meeting was about tonight, so that we could hear these comments and these suggestions. And you do have some really great ones, and we'll be looking at those. And I just want to let you know that we will be working with staff closely on identifying the appropriate locations to do our photo simulations from. That was really important when we did with Smith's project. And like I mentioned, we worked with staff to make sure that we got the right location down in the Embarcadero. And we did take it from like a pedestrian car view, so that you got the actual building and the heights and how it fits with within the area. So we will do that again. It's not a problem. We won't give you renderings with plants that don't usually grow around this area, too. We'll do the correct thing with the actual photo simulation. So I just want to say thanks to the commission tonight for all your comments, and we'll be working with staff closely, and hopefully we'll be able to bring a project, you know, fairly soon, have the staff review, and then back to the commission for an appropriate formal hearing.
Yeah, and thank you, Kathy. This is Tom again. I really do appreciate everyone's comments. I have several ideas that I've kind of doodled on here on a piece of paper, you know, like specifically that corner and the pylons, and, you know, simple things like pulling those back and in so that the deck, you know, you don't have to have the support that at the end. We can bring them back quite a ways and kind of make them disappear so that deck looks like it's really just floating over the bluff there. I think could really be a neat feature that kind of also adds to the tread lightly kind of concept. So anyway, I got plenty to work on. I appreciate the comments, and thank you very much.
All right. Well, I'm glad it was helpful. Cindy, do you want to add anything else? Scott, before we close this item?
I don't. I just want to say thank you to the commission. I was also taking notes, and so it provides staff some great feedback. And if they come forward with an application, we'll be able to provide the appropriate direction and also, you know, consistent with the development standards and everything else. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I think this went well. I appreciate the comments from the commission. I think this is exactly how this is supposed to work. I think this worked fantastic. It was a fantastic, you know, result, I think. Getting the input to the, you know, the applicant sort of up front before they go, you know, headlong down the wrong path. So hopefully this, you know, averts any of that type of thing, and then hopefully we end up with a better project in the end. So appreciate the comments. Thank you.
I agree. I think anytime we can help our developers put together good projects without having to spend arm and a leg up front, I think we're doing everybody a service. So happy to do it, and I think all the commissioners are happy to lend their comments. So, okay, well, we'll close item B2 and move on to item C, which is new business. Seeing none, move on to item D, unfinished business. Also seeing none, we'll move on to item E, planning commissioner comments, future agenda items, and Ms. Stewart has her hand up.
I have one. So some of you may know I'm actually on the board of the Morro Bay Historical Society. And they're always looking at all sorts of different projects and things in town. And of course, one of the ones that's come up recently is the proposed development at the Morro Elementary School site. And, potential for demolition and or redevelopment, all that kind of stuff. So in looking at the buildings and the historic properties of the buildings and researching all sorts of stuff, one of the things that came up was the permitted uses of the current buildings were supposed to have a biannual review by the Planning Commission, which probably hasn't happened since 2006 when it first went into effect. So the question is that something we want to take a look at, given that it's possible that the buildings are going to be completely, you know, used for something different? Maybe some of them will be torn down. Maybe it's going to be a while before the school district decides to do anything with the property. But right now, there's a number of different uses. There's a church. I think there's some sort of a school, a preschool. There had been a some kind of exercise group. Prior to COVID, I think they were able to continue for a little while and have since stopped. So whether that's something the commission would be interested in just taking a quick review of what's happening there, or whether, and this is also acknowledging that staff has a lot on their plate too, you know, and whether staff even has time to pull something together for us to take a look at, whether it's important. I don't know, Scott, if you have any comments on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to find that out. That was something recently that came to my attention. And certainly we haven't done it for years that I'm aware. I think we did it once. Mm. At least our records indicate that we did it once.
Okay.
So, way to follow through. So it is something that we could bring back, for the commission. Probably about the earliest we could get it in front, because I have to reach out to the school district. I don't even know all the uses that are out there right now. So I have to get a list from them. Would be probably maybe the first meeting in May, given stuff that we got going on. So we could do something along those lines if you're interested in looking at it. I mean, again, I'm not even sure all the stuff that's out there. I mean, I've walked around out there a couple of times, but
it might be interesting, given that presumably eventually, if and when they do have plans for the property, for the field, it would be helpful to know exactly what's there and what we might be losing if things get changed or what part it plays in our community. So I'd be interested in taking a look at it as long as it's not especially stressful to staff at this point. But it would take somebody else to be interested too, so.
Joe? Well, you know, I think that's a good suggestion because I would anticipate that, you know, before the school district starts to publicize its plans in any way, they will probably have made an effort to sort of discourage the occupancy of the property and gradually push out some of the less desirable tenants and things like that. So, you know, if we wait too long, it'll be a fait accompli, and, you know, some of the people that we might have wanted to help may already be gone. So that would be a good idea to look at if we could.
I don't think they have any in you know, in, just in passing and talking with the school district, I don't believe they have any long-term leases out there. They're either month-to-month or year-to-year.
I wouldn't want to discourage the activity if everybody else was in favor, but I and thinking about it, it seems like it's going to take a very large amount of time that they may or may not have. So I would be in favor if Scott thinks he can accomplish it in a reasonable time frame, but a reasonable time, staff time.
My amount of time would be me reaching out to the school district planner and asking him what are the uses that are up.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I was bringing back a list. You guys want to talk about it, I'll agendize it. You can talk away.
Well, if it's not too much of a hassle, I would be in favor, but as long as it didn't cost you too much time. So
yeah, it should be fairly simple. I don't, I mean, unless you intended me to do more than that, reaching out to them is just an email.
Okay. Well, then there's three of us.
Okay.
Joe, did you have something? Are we, I'm sorry, Susan, are we done with, are you done speaking?
I am done.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry. Anyone has cut her off.
I had a question about that restaurateur on Embarcadero who was noisy, figuratively and literally. I mean, is that sort of quieted down, or is it still continuing to be a problem?
I'm not sure if we can talk about that. Can we?
You can. It's commission comments. It's, you know, it's a little bit of a follow up on, you know, the item that came before the commission. Okay. As you're aware, you removed their ability to have music out on the patio until they were able to come up with a, you know, a study that showed how that could be done without bothering the neighbors. And what did they do? They played music after you told them they couldn't play music, and they give them a citation. I did, you know, from the restaurant owner, you know, said, hey, it wasn't me, you know, it was my employee, da-da-da-da, and it was sort of, I don't know, really, in the email that he sent to me, trying to protest it, but then admitting that they had music played out there because their employee confirmed it. So that happened. They did get a citation, and we haven't had the issue since then or even before that. So I think it was a one-off, and it sounded like it was from one of his employees. That's where it stands now.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure there wasn't anything resembling, you know, defiance of a planning commission decision or anything like that. All right, you're just satisfied, I am.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
Perfect. Bill, let's hear what you can say.
That's Jesse. Like two quick things. One, Jen earlier mentioned the idea of photovoltaic panels on projects. And probably this is a question for Scott. In the past, I've seen encouragements by the Planning Commission. These are not requirements, but encouragements. Something like solar panels, which, you know, depending upon the strength of a project, are going to be included. What do you think? Can we begin to focus on those items that we value as a group?
You certainly can. The Planning Commission and the existing commissioners that predate you will confirm this. Have often requested or suggested solar panels on projects. That's a fairly common theme. The previous chair of the Planning Commission was very much into solar panels and would, you know, make that request on just about every project that came forward. So, yeah.
So we might be able to put together a modest list around sustainable items, could be around urban design pieces, but things that a developer might then anticipate they're going to hear from Jen, for example, on a project.
Yeah, we could do something along those lines, yeah.
And Jesse, one more thing. One of the things that I've really enjoyed on other commissions is sort of informational sessions. So sometimes they can be very short, a half hour, maybe a little longer. But the one thing that I would love for us to think about is something on citywide landscaping design standards. And I know we already have stuff going, but I think, you know, maybe if we invited you know, just some people to speak, horticulturalists, maybe local landscape architects, to begin to give us an idea of what Morro Bay is about and what our strengths are and how we might begin, you know, to kind of encourage, you know, the, let's call it the exploration of design guidelines. The one reason I'm way into this, and I know you guys are way ahead of me on all this, is it's one of the ways to really tie, I think, a place together is through the landscaping rather than through a forced architectural style. Context is important, but landscaping can be, you know, equally effective. What is, any comments on that?
I don't know that I have a ton. Scott, do you have any comments on how we would?
I mean, overall, and Commissioner Roshan and I discussed this earlier today. I think it's a good idea. We do have in the general plan the draft, you know, the idea that we would be going and doing commercial design guidelines, and one of the pieces of that was going to be landscaping. I think, but leading up to that, I thought it was an interesting idea to, and we've done a few information sessions on different things in front of the commission in years past. We haven't done a lot of them just because of the, you know, workload that we're under right now, but I mean, I think they're interesting. I think they're valuable. And it certainly helps start the conversation. We're probably going to be having normally we'd be doing it now, the kind of goal setting session for council, but council's decided to sort of push that down the road a little bit because of COVID-19. They're probably going to pick that discussion back up again this summer. I would anticipate either a joint meeting between the planning commission and the council to get items that you'd like to see on the work program for the upcoming year or two. They would just have me interact with you and get that list from you and then give it to them. One way or the other, it would happen like that. But they haven't met with you in a while, so I would always encourage them to talk with the planning commission so you have, you know, a feel for what they think. We do have, you know, our liaison who's council member Heller, but nice for you to get to talk to the council once in a while. So anyway, that's my thought on it.
So Scott, if the informational session, rather than burdening staff with this is something that the commissioners could actually help structure, so it wouldn't be adding to your workload. But if there's a number of us who like this idea, I'd be happy to help organize a couple of speakers to come in when we have room on the agenda.
Yeah, that'd be great. If you want to do that, happy to accept that, happy to put it on the agenda. And I know what's on the agenda, so I mean, it would just take a simple call, and we'd be able to put them on there and agendize it so that you can speak and you can have a conversation with them. I think that'd be fantastic, really.
Thanks, Bill. Jen, I'm sorry to keep you waiting.
Okay, and I was giving you a thumbs up, Bill. I think that's a great idea. I think landscape is really important, and some of my favorite places to visit, I visit there because of the landscape. So, you know, I mean, I'm talking about not just rural areas, but, you know, in the hearts of the town and the business districts and whatnot. I have a question, and I don't know how to word this exactly, but there's a couple of places on the Embarcadero that are on the harbor side, and they the buildings have business on the bottom floor, the first floor, but are not conducting anything on the second floor, and they're just vacant. Is there any type of rule or code or whatnot for a length of time that the business does not utilize the upper portion of their building, or that it's, you know, used for office purposes or whatnot? Is there any rule that upper area needs to be used for retail or hotel or restaurant, that kind of thing?
The answer to that is it depends on what they have going on. Certainly right now, you know, I mean, we have a lot of vacant commercial spaces in response to COVID-19. But we do have buildings down there that haven't had tenants in the upper floors, you know, or that they use them very sparingly. Example would be the Libertine. That lease site is actually up. We are working, with folks related to that lease site to get a proposal from them. That comes to our harbor department. They manage the leases down on the waterfront. But it would, you know, through the discretionary process come before the planning commission. So we are working with them on getting a proposal. I think it's been somewhat delayed or substantially delayed as a result of COVID. But we've met with them a couple of times and they intend on giving us a proposal that would do, you know, something along those lines. They do use their upstairs once in a while or rent it out or use it for functions or same things like that. But, you know, that was the one that came to my mind because I've been up there many times, with different events. So, there are others. It just depends. There's different situations that apply to the different properties down there. It kind of depends on which one you're looking at. But that one's going to get resolved because that lease is up and they need to do some redevelopment there.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Richard uses that area for their BOGA, which is the yoga thing on Saturday mornings. And they sometimes let stand-up comics go up and tell jokes up there once in a while. So that's nice of them to do.
During yoga?
No, usually on Saturday nights. They were doing it once a month pre-COVID. So, you know, like to see them continue to support the arts.
Yeah, and as I recall, there were some, I think, was it in the Marina Square building where there were questions about having offices upstairs? And I think the estuary program sort of had an office but needed to make it sort of visitor-friendly so people could come in and get information, too. Like, you couldn't really do a real estate office upstairs.
That's correct.
Hopefully, you know, I mean, or a lawyer's office or something. It would need to be something, I think. Isn't that right, Scott, that it has to be somewhat visitor-serving in
correct.
Some way?
That, that's the zoning that's down there. It requires that, so, yes.
Well, the reason I was asking, I don't want to call out specific buildings, but there's some that I don't think are being used, you know, for yoga and things like that. And I'm just curious what those rules were for that side of the Embarcadero. Just curious, you know, and if there's like a time limit, like you have so long to utilize this space for the public or, you know.
Oh, I would say if offline you want to, you know, send me an email about which properties you're asking about, I'll find out.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to call anyone out on here right now. So, yeah. Sounds good.
Just an email.
Just one thing. I just wanted to add the Planning Commissioner Academy. I don't know how it's going to be, with, you know, virtual or whatever. And I'm not sure if Bill's been or if Susan or Joe. Well, no, Joe's been. I've been with him to these Planning Commissioner Academies. But they're very useful. They bring up good topics. The virtual might not be as interactive or as helpful as, you know, in person, but, you know, we do what we can. So, I mean, if anybody wants to do that, I would encourage them and say it's a worthwhile endeavor. So,
yeah, if you don't know what he's talking about, I sent you an email on it earlier today.
Sorry.
it might have been a surprise from Jesse. You're like, what is he talking about? It is, they have it yearly through the League of California Cities. I think it's more than worthwhile if you haven't attended or even if you have. There's a lot of good information that comes out of them. This one is virtual because of COVID, so maybe not quite as interesting, but you still have good sessions, and the good thing is it's over a 4-day period that are not consecutive, which is weird, but we can sign you up, and if you can't, since it's virtual, if you can't, you know, attend some of the sessions on one day or whatever, you can get access to the tapes afterwards, the recording, sorry. So you still have, you know, availability to look at all of the sessions when you can't really attend all of it one time anyway. So, it's kind of up to you whether you want it or not. If you don't need to let me know, I think what I give you a deadline of the 8th, I think. So take a look at the website. I gave you the link. You can see what's, you know, in the sessions and see if you want to do it. Then if you do, I will sign you up.
Is that covered by the city, or are we responsible for it financially? I noticed there's like $250.
The city pays for it, yeah.
Okay.
It's actually pretty inexpensive for the city at this point because we're not paying for lodging, too, which is normally what we're also paying for. So, or meals, because you can't go there, so.
But Real good. I'm sorry, Scott, I hope I cut you off there. Well, it's your turn anyway. So if nobody else has any more comments, we'll turn it over to the Community Development Director for his comments.
Well, you picked up the one on the Planning Commissioners Academy. The other one that I have is you need to all prepare yourselves. The next meeting is going to be a big one, and it's going to be the adoption draft of Plan Morro Bay, GPLCP, and really the presentation is mostly going to be centered on, because you've seen it, well, three of you have seen all of that, most of it's going to be centered on the EIR for the project, the Environmental Impact Report. That'll be presented by RINCON, probably Chris Birsbach, maybe. Anyway, so that'll be, it's for your recommendation to City Council. So we've been working on this for a very long time. It's exciting to get to this point. We're also doing an informational session with the council on the 9th as a special meeting, so next week. But this will be your opportunity to make a recommendation to the council on this very important document that will lead development and how the city moves forward for years to come. So really excited to bring it here for you to review and make that recommendation, and looking forward to getting down the road to finalizing that document. It's been a long and winding road to get here. So,
are we anticipating more than one meeting, or...
Well, you spent five the last time you reviewed it and gave us direction, and we listened and made the changes. So I'm hoping that we get through in about one or two. I don't know how interested you guys are in EIRs, or specifically programmatic EIRs, which are, you know, can be a little dry. But I mean, if we need more meetings, we'll have more meetings. You know, I mean, there's no requirement that we do it in one. And you've certainly seen it many times, but we do have two new commissioners, so I'm happy to take whatever input you two might have, or all of you. If you have other things that you want to add into the mix or comments you need to make, then please do it. We want to have the best document we can for our city. So
I probably should have asked this earlier. I know we can't talk about it too much, but the recovery facility on Main Street, or when might we see that?
It's a good question. It was approved at staff level last week. It's required to be by state law, approved by staff level, for staff level approval, I'm sorry. And it was appealed, I believe, yesterday. I haven't seen the appeal yet. We'll have a full analysis of the appeal and input from the city attorney's office when we bring it to you. I'll probably have one of the city attorneys at that meeting, because there's very little discretion that we have as it relates to these, and we need to be very careful of the comments that we make in reference to these types of projects. There are involved folks that have a protected class under ADA, and so really we're limited. Even the conditions that you can apply to projects like this, we're required to treat them like a residential project, like a house, so you can't add other conditions that don't, you can't really otherwise apply to a house. I will have that resource available to you when we get it here, and we're probably looking at, I'm staring at my calendar now, sorry, probably coming in April at one of the two meetings, the 6th or the 20th. I don't know which one yet. Again, I haven't seen the appeal, and I need to have a conversation with the city attorney's office on it. So,
very good.
It's coming.
Okay, well, if we don't have anything else, anybody got anything else? Well, with that, we will adjourn to the next regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting, which will be the 16th of March, virtually, of course, 6 p.m., and we will be discussing Plan Morro Bay and the EIR.
Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night.